Hello and welcome to the Liverpool Way podcast. It's Wednesday, 15th of September 2021, and Liverpool are back to winning ways in the Champions League after a quite mental 3-2 win over AC Milan. I'm Chris Smith, and I'm joined by LiverpoolWay.co.uk editor Dave Usher and TLW original John Gallagher just after the final whistle at Anfield for some instant reaction. Dave, how did we get ourselves into the position to need a second half comeback in that game? Because aside from the 10 minutes before the break and a couple of minutes afterwards, this was a brilliant, absolutely dominant performance from the Reds.
Yeah, it was too easy, wasn't it? We were playing that well that after about half an hour, you're thinking, well, how's this not like 5-0 already? I think we had 13 shots in the first 15 minutes or something mad like that. So it just got a little bit sloppy. I think some of the players just were taking a touch too many, maybe taking a little risk that they didn't need to. And it just felt like we ran out of momentum a little bit. And then I'm not saying I seen the goals coming because they came from nowhere, but we had sort of faded after that brilliant first half an hour. And then it's just like one little mistake and suddenly it's 1-1. Like concentration's affected, and then before you know it, it's 2-1. You're thinking, how did we get here? But honestly, I wasn't worried. Even though we went in 2-1 down, I wasn't worried because it was just a little mental couple of minutes. And the rest of the half, we'd been so good. I thought, no, we'll just go back out and we'll just do that again, and it'll be enough to get the win. And it was in the end.
John, it was almost like the lads got a little bit carried away by the occasion of the first game back under the lights at Anfield on a European night with the fans in the stadium, that they fancy just adding a bit of the classic European night drama for the sake of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll bow to Dave's knowledge with the half-time, you know, going 2-1 down at half-time, because I was fearful that how dominant we were in the first half. I thought, you know, they're going to fancy the chance of scoring again, because I didn't think that, you know, we allowed them so much chances in the second half, but you know, luckily they didn't really create too much in the second half. I expected them to play in the break and, you know, maybe pick us off once or twice, but luckily that didn't happen. But yeah, it's just a mesmerising 85 minutes out of 94 minutes. It was just a joy to watch overall.
It reminded me a little bit of the PSG game a couple of years ago when we went 2-0 up at Anfield and we needed the injury time winner from Bobby to come back and, you know, just scrape through after what had been a really, really dominant performance again.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Although I think PSG are a better side than Milan. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take anything away from him. I thought Milan were decent enough tonight, but there's nothing to scare you, is there? I mean, they're not what they were.
But, no, Dave, like the only thing Milan like about that team was the fact they had a Maldini playing for them, and that was it.
Yeah.
And the badge on the shirt. Like, you can tell they're a young team just coming back into the elite, because they've been, is it like 7 years since they played in the Champions League?
Yeah, and it's great to have them back. I mean, I feel like the Champions League needs them. You know, they're one of the teams that should be in it. So I know you've got to earn the right to get in there, but I feel like it's better for them being there. So I'm glad to see them back, but yeah, they're not what they were. Although saying that, I did think that they took both of the goals really well. You know, it was nice football, like the way they sliced through us and that. I mean, yeah, okay, we've contributed to that with maybe players not quite being in the positions they should be, and we were a bit sloppy, but I thought they took the goals well. It'd be interesting to see how they do against the other two teams in the group.
Yeah, definitely. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange like game. I mean, you know, we were so dominant for so long, and it was a bit of a choker going in 2-1 down at half time. But you know, credit to the lads, the way they just, you know, never panicked. You know, this Liverpool team rarely panics, to be honest with you. And I think considering the way we went out of the Champions League last season, you know, it was meek surrender against Real Madrid, that home leg, the 0-0. Compared to that tonight, it just goes to show, you know, the fans, you know, how much we feed off the fans. It's just never been more evident as it was tonight. You know, it's just great being back to normal in the Champions League in that respect.
But you know what's weird though, John? You've just said there about us going out to Real Madrid, and I was about to correct you. I was about to say, no, we went out to Atletico Madrid, because I've completely, like, I've got no recollection of last year's Champions League. Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned it, I remember the Madrid games. I honestly couldn't tell you who else we played last year. It's just gone from my memory completely. It's like all night I've just been thinking our last Champions League match was Atletico. So weird, like, but last year with no fans, it was just, I don't know, it's just, it's gone from my memory completely.
And that was a similar kind of game, that Atletico Madrid game, when you think about it. The dominance battered them. Oblak was just obscenely good that night, I remember, as well. It was just ridiculous saves, I remember. You know, but in the context of the game, you know, he's just dominant, aggressive, loads of energy. And, you know, Milan couldn't live with us, really, for most of the game. But as you say, the way they just stuck at it, it was a credit to them, really, that it was only 1-0 at that point.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we gave them a little bit of a helping hand with that, with some of the profligacy in front of goal. Like, Origi missed a really good chance after, like, 3 minutes. Jota had a great chance after five before we eventually took the lead in the ninth minute. And it was just, you know, some great link-up play between Trent and Mo down the right, as we've seen so many times already this season.
Yeah, and even on the left-hand side, we looked dangerous tonight. Mainly this season, it has been down that right-hand side. We've looked, you know, really good, you know, in all the games this season. But, you know, Robbo down the left was just, you know, his usual relentless best. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just overall. The only slight caveat of the whole overall performance was Keita again. I'm just so underwhelmed by, you know, his overall contributions. I mean, maybe people see things that I don't, but, you know, just the overall, just seems to pass him by the games, and it's just a similar performances week in, week out for me, but, you know, other people might have a different view.
I sort of agree with that. I don't think we've seen anything that we're not used to seeing from him. I didn't think he was bad, though. I thought he was all right, but my only point on Keita would be, yeah, he was all right. I don't think anyone who's like saying he was crap, I think that's harsh. But is he giving us anything that you're not going to get from like Milner, Curtis Jones, Ox, whoever you want to put in there? Is he doing enough to make you think he should be ahead of them in the pecking order? Because not for me. He's been all right this season when he's played. I'm not saying he's been bad by any means. He's been decent enough. He's neat and tidy. He gets around the pitch, and you know, he'll win the ball back. But it's just, there's nothing there that for you to cling on to and go, yeah, you can see he's going to be really good. He's just all right.
Yeah, I think like the thing of Keita is, considering the, you know, the atmosphere, the intensity we played at, it's like, you know, his natural game is apparently, you know, it's front foot, aggressive, you know, giving 1-2s around the box, getting shots away. I'd just like to think at least once during the game he's going to try something like that, that just comes naturally, you know, to the kind of player he supposedly was in Germany. I didn't know much about him before we signed him, but it's just far removed from the player I thought we were getting so far, to be fair.
Were you guys surprised that, you're obviously surprised that he started, but again, it was a big European game and Thiago wasn't starting. It was the same against Madrid last year, and sort of when he wasn't having such a good run in the Premier League, we were all thinking, like, these are the games that we've kind of bought him for, these big nights at Anfield where he's, you know, it's the big stage that he's used to. But again, he's on the bench. Why don't you think he started tonight, Dave?
I think that they're just being a bit careful with him because he has had an injury, which we didn't really know about until he said something himself, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago, that he'd been struggling with it. So I think maybe they just want to take it easy with him, like early on in the season. You'd also probably want to have a look at Keita because he started the season in the team, so, and he didn't do anything to justify being dropped as such. So I think maybe it's one of those games where it's like, yeah, we'll have a look at Keita again. We've got Thiago to bring on. Thiago, I'm sure, will start at the weekend. So it's just a case of not overplaying him, I think. And we do have a lot of midfield options, even with Harvey being out. We've still got a lot of players who you want to get game time to. So I think maybe, I don't want to say prioritise league games, but I think this was a game where they thought they could afford to make a couple of changes. And as it's proved, you know, they did make changes and we won, so it's worked.
And just given how fantastic both Hendo and Fabinho were tonight, like, there wasn't really that much slack that needed picking up in the midfield anyway, because those two were just absolutely everywhere from the first minute until Hendo came off anyway. It was just excellent again from the both of them.
Yeah, they're brilliant though, aren't they? And then you add Thiago to that as well. I've said it before, but I think when we've got those three on the pitch together, I can't see us losing any games, to be honest. Well, we're not going to win every game, but I think teams are going to find it really hard to beat us with those three in midfield, plus Virgil and Matip at the back.
Mm-hmm. Was Virg the centre half you would have rested tonight, John, or would you rather have had him in there alongside Gomez and give Matip a bit of a rest, considering, you know, the three games in a week thing with him is probably going to undo us at some stage?
I expected Virgil to start. I expected us to go, you know, with the Matip and Virg again tonight, and I was shocked when I seen Joe was playing. But obviously with the Carabao Cup coming next week, or whatever it's called this year, I always forget, but I thought that might have been the game where, you know, we'd get through these two games and then maybe rest Virgil and Joel for that game and play Canate and Gomez in the Norwich game next week. So.
And Dave, were you surprised perhaps that Costas didn't get a chance to start tonight, given how well he'd done in the first couple of games, and, you know, Robbo obviously would like to keep him as fresh as possible?
I thought Costas might have played tonight, but then I look at how Robbo played and I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, maybe it's a case that Robbo needed the game because he had that injury, he missed the game. He's not been brilliant since he's come back. He's been fine, but he's not been like at his absolute best, whereas tonight he was. So maybe it's just one of those where Costas might just have to wait for his chance in the League Cup. But I'd have no hesitation in putting Costas in if needed, because he proved that, you know, he's a good option to have. But Robbo was just sensational tonight.
Yeah, he was. John, the other big change was up front, where Sadio got a break on the bench and we brought Origi in. I didn't think he had too bad a game. Like, he did okay. It was just nice to see him put in the middle rather than stuck out on the left, where he always kind of stinks the place up. So what did you make of his performance tonight?
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. You know, his endeavour, energy, you know, it did bring, you know, something different to us, and it was nice to see him have a chance through the middle. I didn't expect him to play again, to be honest with you. He's just come in from the cold. But fair play to the lads, you know, Champions League's at his gig, I suppose, mainly, aren't they? The big European nights at Anfield. So, you know, maybe all's not lost for him, who knows? Maybe I'm getting carried away. It's only one game, you know, after 2 years of nothingness, really. As you say, you know, he's pretty much stank the place out but for the past couple of seasons. But, you know, come in tonight, did the job. Lovely assist for the second goal. You know, I didn't know he had that kind of pass in his locker, to be honest with you. It was Messi-esque, wasn't it? You know, the cheekiness, the cuteness of it.
All right,
steady job. Getting a bit ahead of myself, but, you know, it's, yeah, just fair play to the lad. Made up with him tonight.
Dave, did you expect him to see him starting tonight?
No, because he wasn't even on the bench at the weekend. Now, whether that was that he had an injury that we didn't know about, or it just seems strange that he'd be completely overlooked, not even getting on a how many subs do we have now? A 9-man bench. And he wasn't even on it, and then he's starting, so yeah, that did seem a little bit odd, but he did well. He wasn't fantastic, but he contributed, he looked lively, he looked interested, and I totally agree about if you're going to play him through the middle. On the left, he just doesn't look happy there, you know, he's predictable what he's going to do, and the one thing that he can do is finish. So play him through the middle, and if something falls to him, I'd back him to bury it, because he is a good finisher. But yeah, he played pretty well. He's got cramp at the end, which not really surprising, because when was the last time he actually played? So I think he's done a job for us tonight, and I'm pleased for him, because let's face it, you know, maybe we all wanted him replaced in the summer and that, but he's still here and we need him. But you see at the moment, we haven't got Bobby, so we've got three strikers. Bobby comes back, we've got four, but we're still going to need Origi at some point. So if he can actually make a contribution and not be the player that we've had for the last, say, two seasons, where he's just done nothing. If he starts, he's no good, and when he comes off the bench, he makes us worse. I want the Origi who come off the bench and make a difference, and make a difference in a positive way, not a negative way. So if he can get back to that and make a contribution, at least until January, and then, you know, maybe we'll buy somebody, who knows. But we need him now. So tonight was encouraging, I think. He's shown like that he can still make a contribution.
I'm very surprised with Origi that, you know, going back to the transfer window, that no one came in for him. I don't think there was any concrete interest in him. But you think the type of player he is, as Dave said, you know, through the middle, he's the type of player for someone like Brighton who create loads of chances, pushes them up probably three or four places in the league because, as Dave said, of his finishing ability, you know, rather than having Welbeck or whoever up front, or that Maupay or whatever his name is, you know, Origi, it was a better finisher than you know those two. So it's very surprising that he's still here. But while he is here, as Dave said, just trying you know get our use out of him, and you know he's a good option to come in playing through the middle in certain games, hopefully.
There's a few teams that could have done worse than look at him, but it's the wages, isn't it? I think that's part of the problems. Like, he got a new contract here after the Champions League goal, so he's not going to be on like a low wages. He's going to be on good money. So to the likes of say Brighton or Wolves or West Ham, teams that you look at and think he could do a job for them, those teams probably don't want to pay the wages that he's on at the moment. So I think that's probably why he's still here. Plus, he's never shown any interest in wanting to move on. He seems happy enough with his role here, doesn't he? Which I don't think that's, you know, personally, if I was him, I'd be wanting to play. You know, he's achieved all he's ever going to achieve here, really. He was never going to scale those heights again. He should just go on and play somewhere now, but, you know, he doesn't seem in any great hurry to do that. But see, Klopp was saying after the game, people have forgotten how good he is, and, you know, all clubs didn't try to buy him in the summer, and why is that? You know, they've all forgotten what a really good player he is. I'm like, well, yeah, but it's fair enough, because he's done nothing for 2 years. So teams maybe not going to want to pay 20 million for him when he hasn't really done anything since the Champions League final. I think Klopp was just trying to drum up a little bit of interest in him for January there, to be honest. That was the impression.
Well, maybe just give him a boost as well.
Maybe just give
the lad himself a bit of a...
Confidence.
Yeah, as you say, we are going to need him. So elsewhere tonight, we also got to look at Curtis on the left side of the front three when he came on. That's something that you spoke about in the podcast after the game last weekend, Dave. We didn't see that much of him, but is enough of him to think that maybe it could be a decent option for us moving forward.
Yeah, I think he was in the middle as well. I'm not exactly sure where he was playing, because at times I thought he just had a bit of a free roll, and then he was popping up on the left, so I don't know if he'd switched over. When he first came on, it looked like he'd just gone through the middle. But I'm probably his biggest fan. You know, I'd prefer him in the midfield, but I'm happy for him to get a chance in the front three, because I do think he could give us something similar to what we were getting from Coutinho when he played there. I'm just glad to see him back on the pitch, to be honest, because he was great in pre-season. He looked like, you know, he was really pushing for a place. And then I think he broke his nose in the last pre-season game, which he had a concussion or something, didn't he? So he missed the game, didn't really get in. And in the meantime, Harvey's come in and taken the spot that Curtis was probably looking at and thinking he'd have a chance at starting. And Harvey came in, took his chance, and Curtis was struggling to even get on the pitch at all. So I'm glad to just see him back on the pitch tonight. And I thought he looked lively, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was... showcased quite a bit of skill. He was quick on the ball, direct, like dynamic, everything that you want from him, really. And I'd like to see from Curtis this year, and I know it's down to how he was asked to play last year in difficult circumstances, but I want to see more of that natural game from him, sort of that the creativity and his ability to go past players and just try things different in those games where we are going to be struggling to break teams down from time to time. John, do you think that, would you rather see him in the midfield a little more now with Harvey obviously out for a few months, but or do you think he can contribute a little bit more within the front three as well?
I prefer him in the midfield if he had to choose. I think the front three or four rather. I think as long as at least two of them are playing out of those three, you know, maybe he could play in there occasionally. But I just think with Harvey missing, just that guile and trying to make things happen in the final third, Curtis, you know, he's a positive player, so with Harvey's injury for the next few months, I'd like to see him get, you know, regular games in the middle if possible, especially over Naby at the moment.
All right, so let's get back into talking about the game itself a little bit now. We've been talking around some of the major issues, but early on in the first half, just complete dominance, buoyed by the return of the crowd at Anfield for Champions League games, and I was quite surprised that they turned us round, really. You've got like a young, inexperienced team. I'd figure it'd be advantageous for us not to attack the Kop second half with them. You know, they want to kind of try to get a bit of a footing in the game. They kind of counted against them, really, because the crowd were on fire early on, and it only took 9 minutes for us to take the lead after some really good work between Trent and Mo down the right-hand side. And it looked like it was a cross, but turned in by the defender. And a deserved 1-0 lead, Dave.
You can look at it two ways. It's like, I wasn't surprised that they turned us around, because the last thing you want is like a second half onslaught in front of the Kop. But as you say, it's like it's not really ideal for a relatively inexperienced side at Champions League level to come to Anfield in front of, like, you know, the crowd haven't been in there for 18 months in a European game, so everyone's up for it and that. So it probably did backfire on them. But I think it's damned if you do, damned if you don't, really, with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And then it wasn't very long after that, I think on the quarter of an hour mark, where we got the penalty, John. What do you think? Was that a pen? I mean, I guess he turned his back and lifted his arm slightly, but by the letter of the law, it was a pen. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, letter of the law, it was a pen, but I still think it was a bit harsh, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I can see why it was given. But I, if I was a referee, I don't think I would have given it. But I suppose it's just one of those, 50-50s, but that can go your way sometimes, depending on who the referee is and what the circumstances are.
It was instant, though, wasn't it? There was no thinking about it. He was just kind of saw the incident, Robbo appealed, and then 2 seconds later he was clapping. I couldn't figure out why, but...
Thought he'd appeal in the corner. Because unlike the first viewing, it didn't even look like it deflected. It just looked like the shot had gone over, and I thought, oh, it's a corner.
No, it just looked like a typical Robbo shot. That's why.
Just going exactly, over. You just expect that now, don't you? But I wouldn't give it... I mean, it's one of them where it is a penalty. It's the right decision, but... Should it be? I'm all for, if a defender comes out and he's got his arm up and his hands out and he's making himself bigger, then that shouldn't be allowed. It should be a penalty. I don't think that's what this was, though. I think he's tried to keep his arm in because it's like, he looks like he's trying to tuck his arm in and his elbow's just kind of sneaked out a little bit and he's blocked it with his elbow. So it's not one where you can really complain that you're hard done by with it, but it's not something that I'd really... In an ideal world, I'd be given that as a penalty. No, I wouldn't.
And it was kind of all academic, really, John, anyway, because we were just talking before we went on air here about, despite his excellent record lately, both you and I haven't really been overly confident when Mo steps up for penalties lately.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, he's had that style for, how long has he been here? Three, four years or whatever. And did he miss his first one for us a few years ago? I can't remember, but... Since then, I think he's scored every one since, but I never feel confident with the style, but normally he just buries it. He's took some great penalties, he's put some in the top corner and all that, just without even blinking, but I don't know what it is, just the straight run-up and, being left-footed, I'm a left-footer, but I always find left-footers look a bit awkward when they take penalties for some reason, I don't know why, but... Anyway, thankfully it was all academic and he got his goal in the second half anyway.
Yeah, he did. And it wasn't like the penalty miss sort of knocked us out of our stride a little bit, really. It was one-way traffic for the first 35 minutes of the game. Hendo and Fabinho absolutely dominant and just streaming forward on both sides. It felt like we had about 50 corners during that first half, Dave.
Yeah, it was ridiculous how many corners we had. And then you'd see Virgil sat on the bench, must have been really frustrated. And because Gomez isn't even going up for corners. So, we missed out a little bit there with not having the two centre-backs going up. Big Joel got his head on a couple of them, didn't he? One was an unlucky, decent effort. But, yeah, it's when you've got that many corners, you really need Virgil. Because it was a bit reminiscent of last season at times where... We get a corner and you think, just give it back to them for the goal kick. There's no point here.
Right.
We're not going to do anything. But Virgil makes a huge difference with that. But just going back to the penalty, you're saying you've not got great confidence in Mo. I never used to. I didn't like it at all. I always expected him to miss with that run-up. But he won me over. And today was a bit of a weird one because recently he's been putting them in the corners, and it looks like he can go either side. He's mixed it up really well. Whereas to begin with, I always just felt he's just going to smash it up the middle. And today was a little bit of a throwback to that, where he's tried to go up the middle and he's not even hit it up the middle. He's a couple of yards to the side and it's the way the keeper's dived. But it's been coming because the law of averages says you're not going to keep scoring every time. And he'd scored 17 in a row or something like that. So he was always going to miss eventually. So I'm just glad it's coming a game where it's not really mattered because we've won anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And it was after about maybe 35 minutes that the lads kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit, it seemed. It was almost, like you say in the intro, it was almost too easy for them. And before you know it, we find ourselves 2-1 down, where we're undone down the right-hand side twice in 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, we've got a game on our hands.
I thought the two goals they scored, I don't think we made any sort of glaring mistakes where you're could blame someone specifically. There was a couple of things we could have done better, but it wasn't as though it was anything you could say it was definitely someone's fault. It was just, as Dave said earlier on, they were well-worked goals, to be fair. And Robbo, you know, God bless him, he was so unlucky, you know, when he tried to clear off the line and that. And fair play to them at the time, he took the chances, that's what it's about. But yeah, that's safe. It was just dominance for 40-odd minutes and just a few minutes, little switch off. But, you know, second half, early goal, you know, set us on our way again, thankfully.
Could have been different. You know, that was a heart and mouth time. Like, I know it was offside and it was fairly close, but we did well to push out the way we did. But still, you know, maybe if that had gone in, I wouldn't have been quite as confident as I was before, put it that way. But yeah, we scored early after that, and then once we got back to 2-2, and I knew we were going to win it then.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like a matter of time then. I mean, like you said earlier on, there wasn't really a time where I didn't think we were going to win the game, but gosh, it was a little bit heart and mouth time when that ball went into the net for the third time at the Kop end. But as you say, rightly ruled out for offside, we did a good job in stepping up. But a couple of minutes later, we've got the lead through Mo, some really good build-up play as well. And as you said, John, a great assist from Divock, flicking it over the defender. And a really, really good finish from Mo. That wasn't an easy finish. It was up high and it was with the outside of his foot. And I thought he did really well to just, you know, get over the top of it and push it past the keeper. And that was his 72nd goal in 100 Anfield games, which is absolutely ridiculous, Dave.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It was a great finish. People won't really talk about it because, I mean, one thing I've got to say though is what the hell was the keeper doing? I mean, that was like, talk about like a rabbit stuck in the headlights. Mo scored from the spot where the keeper was actually standing when the pass was played. If that was my goalkeeper doing that, I'd be absolutely, he wouldn't play again because that was just staggeringly bad. But leaving that aside, Mo's took it really well because he's had to improvise with the finish. He's waiting for the ball to come down and you don't know if you're going to get tackled by one of the defenders. So he's just jumped and like just guided it in. Like, yeah, it was really, really good finish. But yeah, that goalkeeper, oh my God, that was like, I don't even know what he was doing. It was, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember last season when we played at Old Trafford? And Mo went clean through, and Henderson, like the keeper, he just backed off and backed off and backed off and left him with the whole goal to aim at. And nothing really got said about that. And I watched that and I was like, that was absolutely scandalous. And people are talking about him as like an England goalkeeper and all that. Thinking the same other goalkeepers, if they'd have had a goal in like that, they would never have lived it down. Henderson seemed to get away with that, Scott Frayne. That was diabolical.
Yeah, Henderson. Did he get away with it though? Because I don't think he's played since, has he really? Yeah, have they picked him since that?
I think he's played a couple of times, yeah. But what I mean is there was no like, I mean, I think Liverpool fans were taking the piss out of him, but nobody else really seemed to pick up on it. And I was like, why is this not a bigger thing? Because that was like beyond like schoolboy play. And it was exactly the same with the Milan goalkeeper tonight. I don't even know what he was thinking.
Yeah, that Henderson one was like proper Honey I Shrunk the Kids kind of stuff, wasn't he? He seemed to shrink. I was like, the goal got bigger and he seemed to shrink into the goal that the clubs of Mo got to him. Like, you remember Peter Schmeichel, he just spread himself like a big starfish and Henderson's just like a little tiny little speck of dust kind of thing, yeah.
And then we had to wait a little bit longer for the winner, which came in really impressive fashion with Hendo, who I thought was our best player on the night. He was just so positive. His passing, range of passing was great. And as he does, he just was constantly getting us back on the front foot. And my God, he doesn't get many, but when he does, they tend to be pretty good, Dave.
He has scored some beauties, hasn't he? It's frustrating that he doesn't get more because now that he's playing in that role where he can get forward more, he does get chances, but usually like it's a bit like Robbo, like he puts them in the cop. But he's kept that one down. Like, great technique, brilliant strike. Gerrard-esque, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, his technique, Henderson, you know, it's just his presence, his technique, you know, everything about him is just oozes class, doesn't he? You know, he's, 6'1", whatever he is, but I don't know. I mean, even in his early days when he struggled, you could see, you know, he's a good technical footballer, you know, he's shunted out to the right-hand side in a 4-4-2, whatever it was, but you always knew, you know, he has got really good technique and he's a good footballer, and now he's just like all-time legend, isn't he? You know,
he's just the man, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the man now. That's and you can tell like the way he carries himself. He still like a humble guy, but he's the man and he knows he's got that swagger about him now. It's just brilliant.
Hopefully we'll see a lot more of that, because he's had some pretty decent efforts that have just kind of been blocked or well saved and everything, and that's something I'd like to see us do more of anyway, is just get some shots away from the edge of the box when those opportunities present themselves, and that was you know, a perfect one really, because the ball was coming at him with some pretty serious pace, and just the timing of the shot was fantastic, and keeper didn't really have a chance, even if he was any good, Dave.
Yeah, no, it was a great technique, brilliant strike right in the bottom corner. There's no keeper in the world saving that one. As for him being man of the match,
what was
though, I don't know. I'm not going to disagree with you too much on that, but man of the match for me was Big Bird at the back. I thought he was just fantastic again. Just his passing, like, just when he didn't really carry the ball out too much tonight, whereas at the weekend he was, mm-hmm. but he was passing it early, and he just seemed to, he pass it forward and you think, who's that to? And then you realise, like, he's just found somebody in space, but because he's played it so early, they're able to get it and turn. And it's such an underrated skill, that, and he's really, really good at it. And when he's fizzing those little balls down the line towards Trent as well, or Mo, they're always just delivered, like, inch perfect. And in stride as well, so, like, they're not having to come back to get them. I just think he's fantastic, and nobody ever really talks about how good he is. I just think he's an absolutely brilliant player. And him playing tonight was significant, really, because he's the one you'd want to wrap in cotton wool normally. Now, I know Virgil, with what Virgil's been through, you're thinking, we're not playing him three times a week, and Klopp said he didn't want to leave him out, but he just thought it's sensible. But you could take the same approach with Matip, even more so, because he's more likely to break down. Like, Virgil's had one injury, and other than that, he's Iron Man. Matip's just had, like, injury after injury, all these, like, little muscle problems. But when he got injured last season, I think he could have come back before the end of the season, but they just shut him down, didn't they? And they said, it's not about getting him fit now, it's about getting him right so he doesn't get these injuries. And they brought in a new fitness guy, I think he was from Bayern Munich or something, and his job was, like, you know, with the injured players, like, just building them up so that when they come back, they don't get injured again. Now, I'm not taking anything for granted with Matip, you know, for all we know, he could break down at the weekend, you wouldn't be shocked. But I think it was,
he'll probably sit at the weekend now, right there, surely.
I don't know. It makes sense. But for him to have played tonight, I do think that's kind of significant, that they're not concerned about wrapping him in cotton wool, and they think that maybe he's turned a corner with the injuries. Because Klopp always said, before he came here, he was never missed any games at Schalke. So he was, like, he was always fit, never had these injuries. And then he's just had, like, one after another since he's been here. And they're always, like, muscle injuries as well. Well, most of them have been muscle injuries, which, that's a red flag, because anyone can get an injury, like the likes of what Virgil or what Joe Gomez. Joe Gomez seems really unlucky, the injuries that he gets. Matip seems injury prone with the injuries that he gets, if you see what I mean. Like ankle ligaments, or, like, you know, a broken ankle, things like that. That can happen. But when you're constantly getting, like, torn thigh muscle, torn hamstring, torn calf, that's a red flag. But I don't know, it'd be nice if he can have, like, a season without any injuries, because, as I keep saying, you know, apart from Virgil, I don't think there's a better centre-back out there. I think he's amazing.
I think he'll play at the weekend as well. I'm thinking Klopp is prioritising the league slightly over the Champions League, and I think with that in mind, I'm thinking, you know, Matip will play Saturday, be rested against Norwich, so he'll have a good week off till our next game then. I'm just thinking, like, you know, the way we won the league a couple of seasons ago, you know, and the sort of emptiness of not having fans to celebrate with and all that kind of stuff, I think that'll be, you know, in the back of Klopp's mind. And I'm thinking, you know, we won't rest on our laurels in that respect. And I think in the league it will be mainly Virgil and Joel, you know, for most of the games.
I'm not on board with giving a centre half the man of the match awards when, like, he's basically had nothing to do but ping the ball around for 85 minutes, but you're clearly a fan, so
yeah,
I'll let you have it.
Absolutely love
it. So it was relatively comfortable after we got the lead, and then we sort of made a few substitutions, which is, I think we made the full quota of five, which is with about 10 minutes still to go, with something we don't really see very often from Jürgen. But then it was just a kind of a case of managing the game and making sure we didn't slip up at the back. And apart from one moment, it never looked like Milan were going to get back into it after that.
Can we talk about Milner's tackle?
Really. Yeah, sure.
I almost went for him as man of the match just on that tackle alone. I just thought it was like pure Milner. It was just what the game needed. You know, we're wanting to see the game out. The guys skipped past him down the line, and he was taking him down no matter how high he had to make that tackle. Because, like, at first he's trying to trip him up, and then he realised, like, the lad's hurdling the tackle, and Milner's leg's just going higher and higher and higher, and eventually, like, he catches him, like, on the nipple and just brings him down. It was just great. And then he just spent the rest of the game trying to win free kicks just to stop the game and break up the play. I just thought he was great. It was just vintage Milner.
Yeah, the season four of Cobra Kai's coming soon, so I think that's as pretty close to that as you're going to get, I think. What Milner did there, absolutely brilliant. Loved it.
The ref kind of gave him a bit, even after he got booked, the ref kind of gave him a bit of a telling off for trying to win that free kick. Like, it could have been quite a short-lived appearance if he decided to be a dick about that, but no harm, no foul.
Which free kick that he tried to win are you talking about? Because there were several.
The only one that he didn't get, basically.
Yeah, the one where he jumped in the air for a throw-in. And he was in mid-air and then he tried to fall forward. Yeah, the ref wasn't buying that one.
And there was, obviously, AC Milan brought Olivier Giroud on, who you and I are both huge fans of, Dave.
Yeah.
And what a beautiful he's got 8 man, 16 by the way. Us.
Yeah, big hands.
He is, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
It's weird because, like, I talk to my wife about it, like, when he comes on, I'll be like, Meg, it's big, handsome Olivier's coming on. And she's like, that guy is not handsome. It's it feels like to me like it's a heterosexual man who notices how just attractive Olivier Giroud is. Girls just don't seem to go for it.
No, it is.
It baffles me.
Absolutely.
My missus doesn't think that much of him, and my mum, she hates him. She's always hated him. She's like, look at him. He looks like he's just stepped out of a salon. Like, he doesn't look like a footballer. He looks like a male model. And I'm like, yeah, but like most of them do. And she's like, no, look at him. He's more interested in his hair than playing football. It's the same reason why she hated Adam Lallana as well, to be fair. But then she loved Ricky Lambert. So I think that kind of, like, Ricky Lambert's a real man, apparently. Whereas, like, Giroud just isn't. So, well, I got my son from my mum. She was the first one to put me onto that,
She was the first one to get onto that, period. I think she was a trailblazer in that regard.
With Son, yeah, I think she was, because everyone was like, oh, Sonny, what a lovely fella. Oh, look, he's always smiling. And she's like, he's a sly little thing, game, can't stand him. And then she turns out like she proved right.
But anyway, back to the football and less swooning over Giroud.
But, sorry, just before you go any further, Chris, Maldini.
Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, wow. What a beautiful specimen he still is, by the way.
Yeah.
And his son, I thought, wow, he's definitely a chip off the old block, isn't he?
Same eyes.
Mm-hmm. Same eyes, those like piercing blue eyes, yeah. It's just but Cesare, I don't know what he's looking like these days. Cesare Maldini with his grey roots and his brown hair. I don't know if he's still got that, but yeah. But yeah, definitely seen Paolo Maldini a few times there.
Yeah,
wow.
There's serious like Harry Redknapp, Jamie Redknapp vibes with Cesare and Paolo, isn't it?
That's probably the best way to describe it, Dave. Absolutely, yeah.
It's one of those where you know their mum must have been like absolutely stunning to produce anything remotely as attractive as that. Anyway, right? The longer it went on, the less likely it seemed that Milan were going to get something. But we did make some substitutions. And with Giroud on, who had such a good record against us, and he scored 4 at Anfield before, they were pumping a few balls up to him. But we kind of dealt with them all really well, Dave.
Yeah, there was just that one cross that it looked like he might get on the end of. But Gomez just did enough to just kind of get his body in the way and stop him getting a proper jump on it. But apart from that, they completely shut him down. Like, Matic was winning everything. I thought Gomez got better and better as the game went on. I thought a couple of rusty moments in the first half, should we say. But I thought second half, I thought Joe was brilliant. Like, I thought he played really well.
And there was the one moment in injury time, John, or perhaps just before injury time, where I had the header at the cop end, beat Robbo to it, who kind of went in with his foot, which worried me a little bit. And there was just a whisker away from two of their lads in the 6-yard box getting on the end of that. So, all in all, a little bit of an escape there.
Yeah, it wasn't quite good, Johnson, in 2005. Like, but yeah, it was pretty nervous moment. The two lads coming in, Maldini and someone else, can't think who it was. But yeah, it would have been a bit of a travesty if they had scored off that. But luckily they didn't. So yeah, onwards we moved to. I don't even know who we play next. Though, is it? Is it Atletico or Porto?
I think it's Porto, sure. Isn't it?
I just take one game at a time, John. I know we've got Palace at the weekend, and beyond that, I don't know. I take each game as it comes. Old school.
Well, it seemed to me like there was 5 minutes of injury time, and there was a bit of a groan around Anfield when that number came up. Like, I love it when you can hear like everybody in unison say the amount of minutes that are put up on the board. But it seemed like AC Milan like wasted about half of it trying to steal in a yard here and there for like the free kicks and the set pieces that they had.
It was a joke, wasn't it?
Why like, though?
Throwing the ball 15 yards up the pitch to take a free kick.
Yeah,
and, yeah, they did it a few times. And does it really make that much of a difference? Like, if you're hitting like a 60-yard ball, does it make any difference if you're hitting it from like 3 yards further back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a bit stupid. But where did the 5 minutes come from anyway? You know, it's kind of standard that you get like
substitutions,
3 minutes,
maybe.
But they never had that on. You get like 3 minutes stoppage time, and then if something mad's happened, like if the physio's been on, someone's got injured. The only stoppage I can think of was when Origi went off. Like, he had cramp, didn't he? And the physio came on, but not enough to justify like 5 minutes stoppage time.
Yeah, they wasted their own time, but I think Milner wasted about 2.5 minutes of it as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Bless him.
Brilliant.
He's just so perfect in that role.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But anyway, we saw it out quite easily, and the first win of the 2021-2022 Champions League campaign is in the books. Porto and Atletico drew 0-0 as well, so that's another good result for us, and it leaves us in pretty good standing in the group, Dave.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to us and Atletico, but surprised they didn't win tonight. They've got Griezmann back there now, haven't they? And Suarez is still there, so yeah, I think it'll be between us and them, but it'd be nice to just have another crack at them, because I felt like we more than deserved to beat them last time, and the way it ended with Adrian making a mistake and then we got done on the counter, it left a bit of a bad taste in the mouth, because I thought we deserved more from that. I thought we played brilliantly that night. And when we play them again, I think we can set the record straight this time. But it's going to be interesting what kind of reception Suarez gets, because last time it was different. You know, it was all business. It was a semi-final. He'd scored in the first leg and celebrated, and you know, he was saying, oh, it was nothing personal. I was like, well, this is nothing personal either. We're booing you, but it's nothing personal. It's just because it's got to be done. It'll be interesting this time, but it's, the stakes are a bit less because it's a group match, whether he'll get more of a warm reception. I think he probably will, but I don't know. We'll see.
We actually own that. When you think back to that Barcelona game, you know, if he doesn't crack Rabo, Gini doesn't come on.
Yeah.
And look what happened there. So, I'd give him a good reception for that alone, I think.
I'd give him a good reception. I mean, I still love him. I just still can't help it.
I think it was more than a cold reception last time, though, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
I think
it was
quite vociferous. Yeah, it really was. Like, I think it wasn't so much booing him, it was just like, fuck off, Suarez.
Yeah.
55,000 people chanting it. So, it will be interesting to see how he's received. I think he'll probably be a little bit mixed. There'll be some boos and some cheers, but I wouldn't give him the steam off my piss. So, I hope he gets booed. Anyway.
Leave him. I'll shit in the fence with that one, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, that'll do us for tonight, guys. Remember, you can subscribe to the Liverpool Way podcast on all the main platforms. We're on Apple, Google, Podbean, Spotify, and Apple Music, so just search for the Liverpool Way and you'll find us. You can also head to liverpoolway.co.uk and grab a TLW season ticket from just £2 a month, and that'll get you access to exclusive match reports from every Liverpool game, the weekly diary feature, and the weekly Premier League roundups, as well as access to the members-only forum. You can also follow us at The Liverpool Way on Twitter and on Instagram at The Liverpool Way TLW. Dave and the lads will be back on Saturday after the Palace game, but until then, we'll catch you soon.
Well, the best word I can say, but we'll describe this, was boom. Ooh, what was this? It was really good.